Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Our Dollar, Your Problem by Kenneth Rogoff is a wide-angle account of how the US dollar became the core currency of global finance and why that dominance is now under pressure. Drawing on decades of policy experience and academic work in international macroeconomics, Rogoff traces the post-war evolution of money, trade, and capital flows, showing how crises, inflation scares, debt booms, and geopolitical shocks repeatedly reshaped the rules of the game. The book explains why the dollar's central role gives the United States unusual freedom to borrow, sanction, and stabilize, while also exporting volatility to other economies that must live with dollar cycles. Rogoff connects history to current debates about rising public debt, central bank credibility, China's ambitions, and financial innovation. Rather than predicting a single dramatic collapse, he focuses on plausible pathways for gradual change, where fragmentation, higher real rates, and shifting alliances could erode some of the dollar's privileges over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the dollar became the world's anchor. A central theme is the historical construction of dollar dominance, not as an accident, but as an outcome of institutions, war legacies, and policy choices. The narrative typically begins with the post-World War II settlement, when the United States emerged with unmatched industrial capacity, deep capital markets, and political influence. From there, the book explores how the dollar's role broadened beyond trade, invoicing into global banking, commodity pricing, and official reserves. The logic is straightforward. A currency becomes dominant when users believe it will remain liquid in crises, convertible across borders, and backed by credible governance. Rogoff emphasizes network effects, where widespread adoption makes the currency even more convenient, reinforcing its lead. He also highlights the importance of US Treasury markets as a global safe asset, giving central banks, funds, and corporations a place to park savings at scale. This section frames dollar dominance as a system that delivers real benefits to the United States, such as lower borrowing costs, and also creates dependencies for everyone else. Understanding these origins sets up the book's later argument that dominance can persist for a long time, yet still weaken through incremental shifts in trust and incentives. Secondly, turbulent decades, inflation, volatility, and crisis cycles, Rogoff's tour of the last seven decades stresses that global finance is shaped by recurring stress tests, inflation episodes, recessions, banking panics, emerging market crises, and sudden regime changes in interest rates. A key takeaway is that financial stability is not a default condition. It is repeatedly negotiated through policy responses that often carry future costs. The book connects the end of fixed exchange rate arrangements, the inflation of the 1970s, and subsequent disinflation to the changing credibility of central banks. It also links the globalization of capital markets to boom and bust dynamics, where easy funding and risk appetite can reverse quickly, exposing countries that borrow in foreign currency or run large external deficits. The dollar sits at the center of these cycles because many liabilities, trade contracts, and bank funding channels are dollar-denominated. When US monetary policy tightens, global financial conditions often tighten with it, even for countries with different domestic needs. Rogoff uses this history to show why crises are not simply national events. They propagate through currency pegs, cross-border banking, and investor herding. The emphasis on turbulence reinforces the argument that reserve currency status is tested in bad times, and resilience comes from institutions that adapt without losing credibility. Thirdly, the United States' privilege and the rest of the world's constraint. The book examines how reserve currency status produces an asymmetry. The United States gains flexibility while other countries absorb spillovers. Rogoff explains that the US can finance large deficits more easily because global investors demand dollar assets for safety and liquidity. This can translate into lower interest costs and a greater capacity to respond to shocks with fiscal and monetary tools. At the same time, dollar dominance can create vulnerabilities abroad. Many governments and firms borrow in dollars, which can become dangerous when their local currency falls, raising the real burden of debt. Even countries with sound policies may face pressure if global dollar liquidity dries up or if investors flee to safety. Rogoff also links this asymmetry to policy choices beyond economics, including sanctions and financial statecraft. When payment networks, correspondent banking, and reserve holdings revolve around the dollar, access to the system can be a powerful lever. The book's perspective is not that the dollar is inherently harmful, but that its role reshapes incentives. Smaller economies often prioritize exchange rate defense and reserve accumulation, potentially at the expense of domestic investment and growth. This topic clarifies why debates about a multipolar currency world are not academic. They influence the real trade-offs countries make in budgeting, debt management, and crisis planning. Fourthly, rivals, alternatives, and the real limits of the dollarization, Rogoff addresses recurring predictions that a challenger will dethrone the dollar, and he evaluates why alternatives have struggled to match the full package of attributes that global users require. He considers the euro, China's renminbi, gold, and newer payment technologies as partial substitutes that can grow in niche roles without necessarily replacing the dollar outright. The analysis emphasizes practical barriers, convertibility, legal protections, transparent markets, reliable monetary policy, and political stability. Even if a country has a large economy, its currency may not become a global anchor if investors fear capital controls, abrupt rule changes, or thin safe asset markets. The book also notes that reserve systems can become more fragmented, with more trade invoicing in local currencies, more regional swap lines, and greater use of non-dollar settlement channels. Yet fragmentation is not the same as replacement. Rogoff's framing suggests that the dollar's dominance could erode at the margin through diversification rather than collapse. The topic also highlights how geopolitical tensions accelerate experimentation with alternatives, but can simultaneously reinforce demand for U.S. safe assets when uncertainty rises. The bottom line is a nuanced view: de-dollarization is possible and already visible in some flows, but the structural requirements for a true successor remain demanding, making gradual change more plausible than a sudden regime shift. Lastly, the road ahead, debt, interest rates, and the next monetary regime, looking forward, the book focuses on how high public debt, changing demographics, and shifting interest rate trends can alter the foundations of the dollar era. Rogoff argues that the post-crisis and post-pandemic world may look different from the long stretch of low inflation and low rates that many investors came to expect. If real rates stay higher, debt servicing becomes more politically and economically painful, raising questions about fiscal discipline and the temptation to tolerate more inflation. The credibility of central banks becomes a decisive asset, because reserve currency status depends on confidence that money will hold value across regimes. The book also explores how financial regulation, bank resilience, and the structure of global liquidity backstops can determine whether future shocks produce contained recessions or cascading crises. Another forward-looking element is technology, including faster payment rails and digital currencies, which may reduce transaction costs and enable more currency competition in some contexts. Still, Rogoff underscores that technology does not remove the need for credible institutions and deep safe asset markets. This topic ties the entire argument together. The dollar's role will be shaped by U.S. policy choices, global risk appetite, and geopolitical alignment. The road ahead is not predetermined, but the trade-offs are clear, and small shifts in trust can produce large changes at the margins of global finance. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a coherent big picture of how global finance actually works. Policy professionals, investors, students of economics, and any informed citizen trying to make sense of inflation debates, sanctions, and recurring crisis headlines. It is also valuable for readers outside the United States, since it explains why the dollar's movements can affect local borrowing costs, exchange rates, and growth even when domestic fundamentals are strong. The practical benefit is improved financial literacy about power and vulnerability, why safe assets matter, why debt composition can be as important as debt size, and why central bank credibility is a national asset. Compared with many popular books that focus narrowly on a single crisis or offer simplistic predictions of dollar collapse, Rogoff provides a longer historical arc and a more probabilistic view of the future. He treats de-dollarization as a set of gradual incentives and constraints rather than a slogan, helping readers evaluate claims about the euro, the renminbi, or technology with clearer criteria. If you want a grounded framework for thinking about the next decade of interest rates, debt politics, and geopolitical finance, this is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Kenneth Rogoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.